And time now for Bruin Buzz is coming up, but it is Capital Call this morning on AM 1400, brought to you by Phillips 66. Two of our guests in studio were somewhat busy Wednesday morning filing for re-election. The other found no need to. And good morning, Senator Ford, who is term limited, and nice to have you in here this morning.
Charlie, it's nice to be term limited, and it is especially nice to be here on a beautiful morning.
It is.
I don't know if I'm getting older and getting better hearing, but I've talked to several people, and the birds are unusually loud and active this year. And I think that is wonderful.
Good.
I stepped out this morning, and it's just such a pleasure to live in Bartlesville in this time of the year. So, anyway.
Yes.
Getting back to why we're here, talking about the legislature.
Yes.
We are one more week. Next week will be our deadline week in hearing bills from the opposite house. And at the end of that period, any bill that has not passed, in theory, is dead for the year. Although we've talked in the past, nothing is ever dead until it's totally over with.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens to the bills that have not passed or have been amended in one house and not in the other?
Where do they go?
They go to what's called a conference committee. And that's a group of individuals from the House and a group of individuals from the Senate will get together, in theory, and see if they can work out the differences and come up with a language that's acceptable to both the House and the Senate and really tries to accomplish the objective of the bill. So that's a lot of what will be happening for the 4 weeks after next week. If we can come up with those agreements in the conference committees, then it goes back to wherever it started, either the House or the Senate. It's approved by one, then it's approved by the other, then it goes to the governor. The other thing, we're going to certainly let Chairman Sears talk about this, is the budget, and that's the big area that will be going on. But a lot of activity on policy, on legislation. I know I've had several meetings with House members and other groups on trying to work out some language as we get close to the end. So we're really getting to the point where I think some good policy, it's serious enough, it's time sensitive enough, and now people are serious about, let's do find out what is the best policy and get it in language.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pleased with the way things are going, but other than that, life is good.
Okay. Well, we'll hear more from the Senator coming up in just a moment. Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, good. Good morning, Charlie, and good morning, everybody. The Senator's absolutely correct. There's just a lot of things going on, but I, as you know, most of my comments on this show has been about the budget. And just a couple of quick comments. First of all, well before session started and even the first day of session, we have been meeting on the budget. You know, and outside our building, there's a lot of people, and some of the rhetoric is, you know, there's no leadership, no one's doing anything. It's really kind of ludicrous. I mean, I get at the Capitol, and Senator Ford and I do every morning about 6, and it's nothing for us to leave at my office about 9, 10 o'clock at night. Now, this isn't a poor Earl thing. I just want the people to know that we have been working extremely hard. A $1.3 billion hole. Shortfall. It's just not an easy. You just don't go have two meetings, wrap it up, and go home. It doesn't work that way. A is equal to B, and if you do A, what's the effect on B? And if you do B, what happens to C? What I'm meaning is, if you take more money from here or you route money over there, how does it hurt this particular program? What tax credits are we going to eliminate? What exemptions are we going to eliminate? Are we going to do some revenue enhancements? You know, the outcry when session started was raise gasoline tax. Well, what's the ramifications of that? Well, I'm saying all that to make the point is in the House, and the Senate's done something similar, but in the House, we've been in small working groups and have been for well over a month and a half looking at all these ramifications, what all the what-ifs are, what happens if we do this, how does it impact this particular budget. All of that has been done. We've been in small working groups talking with all the House members. It took us all week long to do that, plus get our work done on the floor. And, Charlie, I'm happy to tell you that I'm very, very pleased where we are. We have proposals that, quite frankly, ranges to the tune of $2 billion. We can and we will deal with this shortfall, but there lies the problem. We've been talking all along, all three of us. We're going to have to make some tough votes, and they will be tough votes. We're going to have to eliminate some tax credits, and I can tell you right now, everyone that's on the list, there's an army at the Capitol saying, please don't cut my tax credit. We're going to move some exemptions around, delete them, route some of that money to a different direction. And then it's, please don't delete my exemption. But then you have some revenue enhancement measures. We got a group that wants us to raise taxes on tobacco to the tune of $1.50. That brings in about $182 million that we would help us in the health care authority that is struggling right now as well due to this shortfall. There's a gasoline tax proposal, what it can do. I don't think that'll go anywhere, but I'm just simply saying that is there. Another one is an alcohol tax. And it'll probably pass, go to the vote of the people, it'll be their choice. And I think it will pass, but it puts huge changes in alcohol, but we haven't raised alcohol tax since 1980. I think it's since 1982, it might be 86. So there's a movement there to take a look at that. And then there's a movement there to try to look at some things that we can do on sales tax to help our cities. So there's a lot of moving parts, and then all next week it will be a continuation of what we're going to finalize. I have a meeting at 9 o'clock on Monday with the Senate to start finalizing this budget. Say all that to say I'm very pleased. I'm very optimistic. We have a good approach to this budget, and I'm just confident we will have a budget that the people of Oklahoma will be pleased with. I will tell you, the governor, which was unheard of, she's never done that before. I don't think any governor's done that, has sent a second budget to us. Caused a little bit of a stir, don't mind telling you. But I guess it was just the governor saying, you know, I'm still here, and I still want you to consider all my proposals. Well, they're being considered, and you're going to see far more action on our budget next week because we've done all of our homework, and we're now ready to now start making the presentation in front of the classroom.
This is far from an attempt to put words in your mouth, Earl, and before, I want to give Travis more than enough time here, but do you ever personally feel like when someone comes to you with a probably very legitimate request on don't cut my budget, I need every dollar of it for you to simply say, okay, that's great, I want you to go on record to saying that somebody else's budget is the place that the money's coming from?
Charlie, I get that 20 times a day. I never respond that away because I'm just not, that's just not part of my personality. But I get that 20 times a day. We understand that, we get that. The only frustration I've had throughout this entire process is I truly don't think people grasp. A lot of people think we, the Republican Party, fell asleep at the wheel. Perfect storm in regards to apportionments off the top, our tax credits, and then just literally the downturn in the energy sector. Never forget, last year's budget was built on $57 barrel oil. Right, and yesterday oil was up $41, but we had to go through a scenario there that oil was all the way down to 23 and 24. That just devastated our budget. So, but it's coming back. The sun is shining and will continue. Good things are going to continue in Oklahoma, and we will get through this.
Okay. Mr. Dunlap, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Charlie. And I'll just kind of continue the conversation a little bit on what's being done with the budget. I think that listeners should know we've had 15 different large budget proposals and then subdivisions of each of those budgets in the House side. And so there's really been a lot of work that's gone into different scenarios and different options that we have. And we've done just running the House staff ragged, getting all this information for us as we consider what we can do going forward. And that being said, I think it would be interesting to go ahead and warn voters out there, you'll have to be very, very engaged through the summer and fall as these different proposals are coming to you through the media and specifically to the ballot. We're going to have a very long ballot in November, and there'll be a lot of material to read through and think about and decide. And so voters will have to be engaged from the beginning. I just made, just to give you a preview, voters will be able to vote on nominating the judicial nomination process. That's coming up. Voters will decide whether or not to repeal the Blaine Amendment, which is the amendment that the Supreme Court used to justify the removal of the Ten Commandments from the state grounds, state capitol grounds. Voters will have to probably decide on what they want to do with alcohol laws in Oklahoma. All of these are still in process. Then there's any number of tax proposals that are going on the ballot, and there may be competing tax proposals that are on the ballot, and there may be several different kinds of tax proposals on the ballot. And so you will have a very long ballot in November, and you will need to be engaged on exactly where to steer the direction that this state needs to go forward.
And there are one or two that are still going through the signature process that may or may not make the ballot.
Exactly. That is very true. And some, I would argue this, some, if there are competing tax proposals on the ballot, I think some would be more responsible and some would be less responsible. And so you can't just blindly vote for all of them thinking that we just need more money in the state government. There's, of course, a lot of Oklahomans don't believe that. Then, of course, there are some responsible ways to do it and some irresponsible ways to do it. And so voters are going to have to really think through and decide on what's going to be the direction of the state going forward in terms of income.
So. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Travis. I appreciate the update. We have a few more minutes. If somebody has more that they want to cover through committees or something else, John?
Well, Charlie, I thought I might mention that I know it's on your newscast right now about Highway 60.
Yeah.
Made a comment in Nowata last night to the annual chamber banquet. But in May, we're going to let the first phase of that Highway 60 improvement by the Oklahoma Transportation Department and the portion from the Nowata County going east for about 5 miles. It will be let in May. Probably construction will start in August or September. That is about a $15 million project, and it's going to remove some of the curves, and it's going to be a super two-lane road.
Mm-hmm.
A year after that, we're going to start at the Washington-Nowata County line coming west toward Bartlesville all the way to the industrial park. That will be another approximately $15 million project. Super two, we are totally redoing the bridge over Hogshooter Creek. So in about 3 to 3.5 years, we're going to have a major portion of Highway 60 between Bartlesville and Nowata, super two, so much safer than it is today, better for commerce, and just it's a tremendous improvement. But Charlie, this is a project that we started working on before any of the three of us were here. It was Mike Wilt, Jim Dunlap, and all the legislators and communities
from Ponca City,
from Ponca City to Veneta. It's been a great effort. But I think individuals need to realize that when we make changes like this, nothing happens quickly. But this is something that has been needed, and I am very proud of everybody that's been involved, and it's going to be really good for our area up here.
And I'll just add to it, but I know Earl has something else he wants to mention. Because US 60 is a federal dollar item, you know, it takes coordination not only at the state level, Gary Ridley, but also Senator Inhofe and federal people getting in on that one. Earl.
Charlie, I'd like to just close on this note. There's a lot of wonderful days at the Capitol. Quite frankly, on Tuesday was the honoring, once again, the 45th, which has a huge and rich history in our great state. But a very, very special day is when Bartlesville comes to the Capitol, and we call it Bartlesville.
That was
Bartlesville
Wednesday.
That was on Wednesday. It was Leadership Bartlesville, and we just want to give them a shout-out. Thank you all for coming down. We had a great time, and we just want to say we appreciate you being there. And sorry I didn't get to meet with them as much as we did, but again, a big shout-out to Bartlesville Leadership Day.
And Lieutenant Governor, I spoke with him earlier that day. He was looking forward to seeing everybody from Bartlesville that day.
He was there.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll say thank you to Phillips 66 for sponsoring this radio show.
Excellent. Okay, that's our Capital Call this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1.
At Phillips 66 Gas, we strive to bring you the best in performance gasoline. But now we...